I want to invite and encourage you, if you have a Bible this morning, to open your Bible to Psalm 119. We're going to be looking today at verses 73 through 80. And if you've been with us starting in January, you know that we've been going through Psalm 119 section by section. Psalm 119 is divided by the use of the Hebrew alphabet. So the Hebrew alphabet provides these different sections of Scripture. So we've been, again, just kind of going section through section, seeing what it is that God would say to us through His Word. Now, if you do not have a Bible, we want to encourage you to use one of the Bibles that's provided for you in the seat in front of you. And we put the page number for this in the bulletin so that you can turn right to this section of Scripture. So I want to encourage you to follow along as I read Psalm 119, verses 73 through 80. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commandments. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May my heart be blameless toward your decrees, that I may not be put to shame. Church, this is the word of God. When we oftentimes talk about our relationship with God and how that impacts our relationships with people, we will talk primarily in the ways that out of the overflow of what we experience in God, the overflow of how we experience God, that how we experience God then shapes our relationship. So for example, we have the command in Scripture to love people in the way that God has called us to love people. And we don't tell people, we don't tell Christians, hey, you need to love people the way that God has told you to, as though you are able to do that in your own strength and your own power. No, what do we say? We say, when you have experienced God's love, when you have experienced His mercy, out of the experience of God's love and grace and mercy and the infilling of God's Spirit into our life when we put faith in Jesus Christ, it is then by the Spirit of God that we are enabled and empowered to love people the way that God has called us to love people. So we start with the vertical to kind of oversimplify it. God's love towards us then shapes our love towards other people. The vertical shapes the horizontal. That's the way we primarily teach the language of our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And that's good and right and perfect, and that's what we should do. But today, I want to do something different. And perhaps you've never even thought about it this way. I want us today to think about the relationships that are in your life, the relationships that God has allowed to be in your life, and how those relationships shape your relationship with God. In other words, today we're going to start with the horizontal, if you will, and then see how that shapes the vertical, how our relationships that we have in our life shape our relationship with God. Now, as we open again, as we have our Bibles open to Psalm 119, verses 73 through 80, I want you to note that both overtly And in the background of the text, there are two kinds of relationships that the psalmist is dealing with, or types of people he's relating to. One of those is the relationship that he says about people who are arrogant, right? Verse 78. The arrogant who want to put him to shame, who've done him wrong even though he didn't do anything. We might call this an antagonistic relationship. The relationship that you have with someone, they just don't like you. You might not even know why. They just don't like you. And not only do they not like you, but sometimes they'll talk bad about you to your face or behind your back. And you just don't even know, why is that person? Sometimes that antagonistic relationship is someone who has a kind of power over you. Maybe it's a boss or a supervisor or somebody like that. And again, you don't know exactly why, but they just sort of have it out for you. Some of you have lost your job because of that, because of some kind of antagonistic boss who kind of had it out. There are those relationships that are in our life that are just kind of antagonistic. If something good happens in your life, they're not happy. If something bad happens in your life, they are happy. They love to see you fail and be miserable or whatever it may be. So there are the kind of what the psalmist calls in these verses arrogance, or we might say antagonistic. There is that kind of adversarial relationship that will show up in our lives. Now, again, I'm speaking in very general terms here this morning, that adversarial relationship. But there's another relationship that we find in this text. It is the relationship that he has with certain people who share his faith, who he wants to be encouraged by his faith. They are fellow sojourners, fellow encouragers in the faith. And you see here that he says, may those who fear you, God, rejoice when they see me. Or he says here, may those who fear you, verse 79, may those who fear you turn to me. We all have in our life a sphere of influence. People in our life, they may be our children or our grandchildren, a spouse, friends, co-workers, someone that we're mentoring. But these are people, generally speaking, who are for you, and who are walking with you, who are encouraging you, who don't want to see you fail, and you don't want to let them down. That's another kind of relationship that we find in our lives and we see here in the text this morning. So you have here in Psalm 119, verse 73 through 80, you see two very different types of relationships, an antagonistic relationship and an encouraging relationship, a positive relationship and a negative relationship. Now, each of those relationships are functioning very different in his life, but they all drive him to the same effect. Both of those relationships drive him to seek God, to depend upon God, and look to his word. All right, those are very different relationships, but in both of those relationships, the psalmist says, God, I need you. I need your help. I need to be sustained by your word. In fact, the imagery there in verse 73, your hands have made me informed. One of the dominant images we see throughout Scripture is the imagery of God as the potter and we are the clay. He is the one who shapes us into his image and what he wants to do in our life. And you see the psalmist as he's working through these relationships, as he's relating to the antagonist or the arrogant, as he's relating to the ones who want to see him do well and he doesn't want to disappoint them. He's coming to God's word. He's coming to God in his word and say, God, your laws are righteous and your faithfulness has afflicted me. Your unfailing love is my comfort. God, may my heart be blameless towards your decrees. Let your passion come to me that I may live. This is the language of somebody who's in these relationships, right? The horizontal is then shaping the vertical. God, I'm dependent upon you, and I need to be sustained by your word. So for us this week, I want to put a call upon your life, a challenge upon your life to think about the relationships that God has put into your life, no matter what they are. And I want you to take those relationships, each one of those relationships, and I want you to take that horizontal relationship that you have with different people, and I want you to turn that into a vertical opportunity to grow in a relationship with God. Or to put it this way, this is what I want to challenge you this. Make every relationship that God has allowed in your life, you might not have even caused it, maybe he's just allowing it. Make every relationship in your life an opportunity to grow in dependence upon God and his word. Every relationship that God has allowed in your life, every relationship in your life, let it drive you to dependence upon God and his word. Again, we don't oftentimes think about our relationships that way. Most of the time, we're in a responsive or reactive relationship in our life. But take those relationships and bring them to the Lord and say, God, I need you. I need the sustenance of your word to shape my heart and my life so that I can grow in a relationship with you, so that I can learn dependence, so that I can, you know, bring the joy of the Lord in my life in such a way. So make every relationship an opportunity to grow in dependence upon God and his word. And I'm gonna give you some more homework, all right? I'm gonna give you three relationships to work through this week. Just you and God. You don't have to talk to the people. You have to talk to them. Probably should, but don't, you have to talk. But a relationship with God. And I want you to take each of these relationships with God, and I have a sermon application guide after the service that's available on the guest welcome table that'll put that for you. But I want you to ask this question of the three relationships that I'm going to put forward for you today. I want you to ask this question based on that truth. How is God using this relationship to help me grow in dependence upon God and his word? So let's start. Relationship number one, that I want you to ask the question, God, how are you using this relationship to help me grow in dependence upon you and your word? The first relationship is the antagonistic relationship. Those people in your life that there's just tension. They don't like you. Maybe you don't like them. Again, for whatever reason, there's sort of conflict. It's an adversarial relationship. And again, this is one of those pain points in life where our tendency is to disconnect from God in responsiveness to him, and just sort of react in the ways that we think are normal. So if someone hurts us, we hurt them. If they wish us ill, we want ill to befall them. Those are sort of very natural responses. When we've been hurt, when someone doesn't like us, again, I'm not talking about extreme cases of abuse. I'm just talking about the general things that happen in life where you end up with certain adversarial relationships. And you know, they don't like you, and maybe they've even said or done things to you that have caused pain. So how do you take that relationship and allow that to help you depend upon God in his word? We're going to talk more about this particular relationship next week, about this kind of conflicted relationship where there's hurt and hatred and all those types of things. We're going to go into a little bit more depth next week, but let's think about this real quick on what this looks like. So let's just think about somebody who has said something hurtful to you in your life. Right. Think about that particular relationship. Think about that particular person. If it was a parent, a boss, a friend, or something like that. When somebody says something hurtful to us, our response can veer from devastated. I mean, devastated to the point that it dominates our life and shapes our decisions in negative ways. It just is just sort of devastating to us. Or the way that some of us respond to the haters or whatever you want to call them is we get competitive. I'll show them. I'm going to show them what they were wrong. And some people will go their whole life trying to prove that their father or mother was wrong in what they said. Their parents may be dead. They're still trying to prove them wrong. We get competitive, don't we? I'll show them. I know that's sort of the way I respond. If you're trying to lead out on something or do something and there are people who are negative or critiquing about it, my general response is to go, I'll prove them wrong. And there's a place for that, right? There's a place for competitiveness. But so often, though, in the midst of trying to prove someone wrong, we might miss the fact that God is actually trying to teach us to depend upon Him. That what they think about you and what they say about you is not what is most important in life. You see, it's who God says that you are. Who God says that you are and what He's doing in your life that is the most important. I love this quote. I'm going to put it on the screen here. It comes from a book written by a guy named Thomas A. Kempis. He was a German-Dutch pastor. That's a fun personality type, right? German and Dutch. German-Dutch pastor and bishop. He lived from 1380 to 1471. And he wrote a series of devotionals that have been compiled in a very famous book called The Imitation of Christ. And in one of his little devotional chapters, he has a quote about what do you do, like what happens in your life when people speak ill of you, who don't wish you well, right? And he says this, it's on the screen, and it's in the sermon application guide. It says, "It is good that we sometimes endure contradictions and that men think ill or meanly of us, and this, although we do and intend well." He says, "These things help us often to humility and defend us from vainglory, for then we the more seek God for our inward witness when outwardly we are condemned by men, and when no good is believed in us." You see, even that antagonistic, adversarial relationship that is in your life, and you probably wish it would go away to some degree, but even that relationship can be an opportunity for you to grow closer to the Lord, to depend upon Him, to ground your identity in who you are and who He says that you are and what His Word says. So relationship number one, asking the question, right? How is this relationship helping me to grow in dependence upon God and His Word? Relationship number one that I want you to think about today, and some of you have that person already in mind. You already have, right? You know exactly who I'm talking about. That person, how is this relationship teaching me to grow in dependence upon God and His Word? An adversarial relationship. Relationship number two. I'm giving you three. That's just the homework for this week. The second relationship is somebody in your life that you want to see change in their life, but they're not changing. And I'm not talking about a parent and a young child. I'm talking about adult relationships. But it's somebody in your life that you want them to change. It may be an adult child. It may be a friend, a coworker, a boss. It may be your pastor. It could be lots of people, right? In your life. And again, this is sometimes more of a challenge for other people, especially if you've got a little bit more of a desire to try to control. But you want to see that change happen, and you want to make it happen. And so you will use any tactic that you can. Guilt, manipulation, passive aggressiveness, all the tools in our tool belt. And how well do those things work? Not good, right? The reality is, this is hard. This is harder for some people than others. You can't make people change. Right? That change has to come from somewhere else. And that relationship can be so wrought with difficulty and disappointment and disempowerment. So what does it look like if you have that relationship in your life, to bring that relationship to the Lord and have it be an opportunity to say, God, I release this relationship to you? Because God can bring change in people's lives, and he'll do a better job than we do. To release that relationship, say, God, I'm dependent upon you. I release my son, my daughter, my spouse, my friend, my whatever it may be, to your hands, and I will depend upon you, and I will be sustained by your word. How is God using that relationship to grow you in dependence upon him? Relationship number three, last one, is that circle of influence that you have. Again, it may be small, it may be large, but each one of us, to varying degrees, has a circle of influence of people who, generally speaking, are for us, and we're for them. It's not antagonistic or adversarial. We're looking out for each other. We want to see each other succeed. We don't want to disappoint them. And the reality is that degree of influence comes with responsibility. We don't want to disappoint people. We don't want to hurt those that are closest to us. And yet, we all are that kind of walking contradiction, even as Christians, right? We're growing in our faith, and yet we fail those we fail other people. We fail our relationships at times. We do disappoint people. And so within that responsibility and that desire to help those who are in our sphere of influence, to not disappoint them in ways that undermine faith, and all the ways we may talk about that, we bring our lives before God and say, God, I depend upon you. God, I need you. I don't want to let them down. Those who fear you and love you, I want my life to be an encouragement to them, but I can't do it in my own strength. I depend upon you and the sustenance of your word. So today, as you leave, we got to have this call upon our life. And I want you to do that. I want you to start thinking about those relationships. As I talked about this morning, I'd be willing to bet that certain people came to your mind. The antagonistic relationship, the relationship you wish that person would change, the people you don't want to disappoint, that wasn't an abstraction to you, that real people with faces and names came to your mind. And I want you to see those as an opportunity. There's lots of things we could say about that relationship, but this week I want you to see each of those relationships, those horizontal relationships, as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow in a relationship with God. That those relationships can teach you that important spiritual principle that we are dependent upon God and his word for our very breath. We need to be sustained by him. So, I leave you today with that call on our lives. This week, make every relationship an opportunity to grow in dependence upon God and his word. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are always so grateful for the chance to gather today, to sing songs of praise to you, to be edified and challenged by your word. God, we need you. And so I pray today for each one of us as we reflect upon our relationships, that each of these would be an opportunity, Lord, to grow in a relationship with you, and that our relationships with others would then be shaped by our relationship with you, Lord. We need you. We are dependent upon you. So, Lord, we bring our lives to you today, asking to be sustained and strengthened by you. God, I pray today for anybody here who's never put their faith in you. And as they heard the testimony earlier in the service about the difference between knowing about you and knowing you, Christ, I pray today that if anybody is here who's never put their faith in you, that by your Spirit you'll bring conviction in their heart, to help them see that they are a sinner, that they are separated from you for all of eternity, and that by your Holy Spirit, they'll receive your gift of salvation for the first time. Lord Jesus, we bring our lives to you today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.